representing His Eminence, our imperious leader.
And welcome to Subject to Discussion. The Cylons won't leave me alone. We're going to go into them in about 25 minutes or so.
You are their imperious leader.
There you go. Thank you very much. And that's Khan Solar, the producer of the show, extraordinaire, I should say. Anyway, welcome to the program. And as I said, last four weeks, we did a Galactica-only show, a little bit of an excursion from what I usually do. I am, but tonight we're going to get back into the bloggers and talking to them. And right now joining us is Ian Schwartz, who is the politicalteen.net. Ian, you there?
Yeah, hey.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Fine. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, no, thank you for having me.
No problem. I tried to get you on. Actually, you came recommended from Joe Gandelman from the ModernVoice.com, who was the first blogger I had on. And he, you know, he recommended I bring you on, and I tried. And your site was down for a while, correct? Your blog?
I'm sorry, what?
Was your blog down for a while?
You're
redesigning?
Maybe yesterday, or maybe Saturday and Sunday, because I was getting I had pictures up and getting high volume traffic that day.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, but back in December or January, were you redesigning your blog?
That's when I just started my blog.
Oh, okay.
And I guess, you know, I didn't have a great template, and it really wasn't that great looking back then.
Really? Well, I'm on the blog right now. It's really incredible, the effort you put into it. I mean, really, of course, give the show a plug, which I appreciate. And now, what made you start your blog?
I started viewing blogs for the last 2 months before I started my own. Actually, the first one was a Talking Points Memo, and that's a very liberal, democratic blog. But, you know, that started getting me into it. And I saw it on, you know, the Yahoo Newswire. That's where I've been, you know, reading that for quite some time. And they started listing blogs, and I saw stuff like Blogs for Bush and stuff like that.
Really? And then how long have you been blogging?
For about 5 months now.
Really? Really? I mean, you got quite a good reputation. I mean, Joe Gamlin can't speak higher of you, and then just your blog here. I see you're all over the place. I mean, I just did a search of your blog on Yahoo, and you're all over.
Yeah, I've been on quite a few blogs, but not yet insta-launched.
Yeah. Now, what issues or postings get the biggest response in your blog? Have you found, you know, something you put up there, all of a sudden you get a lot of response for, or a lot of clicks? I mean, what do you find in that you post up, it gets a lot of a response?
Hot button issues, like lately it's been the Terry Schiavo.
Yes.
You know, what's going down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And,
The judge just extended another 48 hours, I believe, because there was a countdown to her getting, the plug pulled, but the judge extended for another 48 hours. But, what else gets a good response? Is it the election still?
A lot of, pro-Bush stuff. I'm getting some type of anti-Bush people commenting and kind of like trolls lately.
Oh, that's interesting. And then, now you were just at the CPAC, is that correct? You went to CPAC. That's in it was in D.C. at the Reagan Center, correct? Hello.
It's at the Ronald Reagan Building.
Correct. And how was that? That's the the Conservative Political Action Committee. How was that?
That was pretty fun. I got to see Newt Gingrich speak and Kenneth Blackwell, which is Tuesday's Secretary of State of Ohio.
Oh.
I think he's going to be running for governor too.
Really?
Right.
And who else did you see? Anybody? Any big name conservatives were there? I know Rush Limbaugh's in Afghanistan. I found that out this morning.
Yeah, I wasn't. Well, I went there on Saturday, and that was the last day. But they had Rush Limbaugh there, Ann Coulter, and I think Matt Drudge made an appearance.
Really? No. Did you get to touch and talk to any of those people? Did you get to talk to Drudge or Ann Coulter?
I read them, but I mean, you know, it's probably impossible to be able to speak to them.
Yeah. And then just Ann Coulter, boy, she's out there too. She writes books. She shows up on Fox all the time. And then now, how many hits do you get on your blog normally?
I've been getting about 1,000 a day,
wow.
800 to 1,000 usually.
Wow. Is that unique or is it return?
That's unique.
Unique. Wow. Well, that's very good. Very good. Now, have you ever had a time where you just said, oh, I'm sick of this. I'm going to go, you know, stop and go do something else, or is it in your blood to keep doing this?
Yeah, actually, a couple weeks ago, I took a good two or three day break. You know, I had somebody guest blog for me. It's just, I guess, it, sometimes it gets, you know, it was during a time when there really wasn't a, it was a slow news period. But, you know, when there's a lot of news coming out, I mean, you know, like every day, if there's something big, I mean, that's what keeps me going.
Yeah. I mean, well, I mean, just as one reason why I kind of veered off, because just after, for about a month there, just seemed like it was either nothing going on or it was the same old, just, it was like, a, you know, you get sick of it, don't you? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Lately, a couple weeks ago, I was, you know, like I said, I just was kind of getting boring.
Mm-hmm.
But I've picked it up now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just some of the time you just feel like what you're doing is kind of pointless.
Yeah. Now, once again, this is Ian Schwartz. He is the politicalteen.net. He's a blogger. And this is subject to discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. Don't call me late for dinner or whatever. And now, Ian, what is your background? How old are you?
I'm 16 and I'll be 17 in a couple of days.
Wow. Yeah, very good. I mean, it's commendable. I mean, now, where are you going to go to school at? Are you going to go for political science? You're going to be a lawyer? What are you looking at right now?
Well, my brother, who works for the governor here, he majored in political science and sub-majored in world history.
Wow.
But I don't think I'm going to go for political science because, well, he told me that you get a lot of liberal teachers.
Mm.
And, you know, it's not really, you don't really, you should go specifically for what you want to do, you know, foreign policy or communications. Mm. But right now, I was really originally planning on going for secondary education and a history major.
Really? Very good.
Right.
Very good. So what are your plans? Are you going to run for office, or are you going to work for the UN? Do you have any kind of, you know, where do you hope to go?
I don't think I would run. I mean, I can't say. I don't have plans, really, to run for office. I would maybe like to work on a campaign or something like that.
There you go. And now, what about this guy, this Churchill guy, down in Hawaii, apparently making these speeches? I was watching O'Reilly, I don't know if you had a chance to watch Bill O'Reilly today, but he's been railing against him for a while. What do you think of the Churchill professor?
Well, I think that he's pretty crazy. I mean, I'm for free speech and all that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's allowed to say what he wants, but I think he went past the line.
Yeah.
Did you see the, actually, I blogged about it too, the pictures where the people were welcoming him to Hawaii, and well, they weren't really welcoming him. They said something like, because he came out and said that he wasn't an Indian, and so somebody was holding a sign saying, "Who's your daddy?"
Really?
Yeah.
Now, he said he's not an Indian?
Yeah, I read about that on, I think it was LaShawnBarber.com, where he said that he wasn't an Indian.
Oh, no. Well, that's the reason why he got the job at the university where he's working, because he was Indian.
Right.
So this is a whole new scandal that's going to break out now, because now he lied, he was an Indian, and everybody was saying, oh, he looks like an Indian, he's got the long hair and his hair is
so
bad.
Yeah, he does, and I even said that I was fooled by it, because he had that, you know, the tan skin, he had the, you know, the long hair, where the color of the hair, he had the hair tied up like, you know, contemporary Indians do.
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, how could somebody... He can, in good conscience, get away with that. I mean, you know, taking that, you know, well, the university probably should check a little further, but, I mean, what would the university have to do? Give him a, you know, DNA test to prove he's an Indian or what? I mean, make it rain? I mean, what else?
That's what they were going to do, but I think they have decided, I haven't heard anything since then, so.
They should probably fire him and sue him for, you know, wrongfully representing himself as an Indian.
Right.
That's like lying on your resume.
Tenure too, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, I know O'Reilly was really railing against University of Hawaii blasting them, saying that they've lost all his respect and everything else. I mean, who do you look at when you're trying to TV? Do you watch O'Reilly, or do you listen to Limbaugh? Where do you go to for your news?
Well, I mean, it's pretty stereotypical. Actually, I even get trolls that say, all you know is what Bill O'Reilly tells you. Well, I don't really listen to Bill O'Reilly, to be honest. I mean, I'll listen to him sometimes, but I usually... At night, I listen to Kevin McCullough, if you ever heard of him.
No, who's
he's
that?
He's pretty popular in New York. His website is kmclive.com.
Oh.
I usually listen to him when I get home from school until about when he gets up there at 4.
Okay,
and then sometimes after that, I'll listen to Sean Hannity and then Hugh Hewitt. But at night, I'll usually, on TV, I'll watch Henry Combs. I watch that probably more than O'Reilly and Brit Hume. And today, I've been starting to get into that new show with Ron Reagan, Connected Coast to Coast.
Ugh, you watch that drivel? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I don't think it's going to last more than the John McEnroe show. I mean, I just wanted to watch, you know, how crappy it is.
I can't believe they gave him a show. I mean, nothing against Ron Reagan Jr. or anything, but give me a break. I mean, he barely was able to hold on to that show he did after the election, after the debates and all that, on MSNBC with, what's his name, Joe?
Chris Matthews.
Yeah,
he was a correspondent for Chris Matthews.
Yeah, I mean, I they're trying to cash in on that last name. That's one reason why he's on that program.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. It's not just because of the last name, but it's just because he's different. You know, political views are different than his father's and his family's.
They know he riles up the conservatives when he's spouting off the liberal points of view. I mean, I think it's one reason why he's sitting there on MSNBC hoping to get some viewers over there. But because that network's in trouble. I mean, they lost who'd they lose? They lost
McEnroe.
Deborah Norville. She left her program. Don't forget.
They've gotten a lot of their correspondents have either gone to either, you know, Fox or CNN, or they have their own show, or they're on the Sunday morning talk shows.
Yeah, you know. Maybe I don't know why. I mean, I think I should do a show on MSNBC. What do you think? No? Subject to discussion?
You probably could. I mean, they'll let anybody do it now.
Oh, that's an insult. Thank you. No. That network needs some kind of program to set it apart from the other, the other two. They're not supposed to be copycatting each other, which is like CNN. They got into the thing of trying to copycat Fox, and now MSNBC doesn't know where they're going,
Yeah.
So you listen to now. Do you listen to Rush Limbaugh?
Sometimes I listen to him on the real radio.
There you go.
I haven't called him online. Probably listened to him in a month.
Really? Wow. Because right now he's in Afghanistan, and this morning he was calling in actually from Afghanistan and talking about everything that's going on and everything. Now, what do you think about President Bush's trip over to Europe? How do you think that's going? And today he's in Slovak, I guess they call it, right?
Right, one of the Russian states.
Yeah, and he's over there, and I guess tomorrow he's going to meet with Putin, correct?
Right, in Russia.
Yeah, so how do you think everything's going for the president over there? Seems like everything's going well. I mean, Schroeder gave him a pat in the back, and then Chirac didn't, punch him in the face or anything. Yeah, so how do you think?
I think that it was a much needed trip, probably, that he needed to go over there to reassure the Europeans. I mean, they've gotten a bad flavor of us recently, past couple of years. But no matter how you look at it, I think, it's a gilded kind of, like, it's on the face of it looks like everything's going great. You know, you never see the bad, world leaders will never say the bad things, out loud. But I think it will go good. Actually, I saw his thing in Belgium the other day, where they have stickers on the urinals that say "Pee on me" and has George Bush's face on it.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, they're supposedly pissing on George Bush. That's right. Yeah.
Right. But actually, on Fox News, I saw that there was in Germany. They had this Jewish lady on who was from she wasn't the Holocaust, but her family was, I guess. And she said, "Don't believe what you see on the news. I love the United States, and most everybody does here."
Really? Well,
yeah.
I mean, do you really? I mean, what do you think about that? I don't think it's no big deal. The guy, has the urinal targets of prison. But I mean, some of that just—it's like here we changed the French fries to Freedom Fries and toast to Freedom Toast. I mean, some of that just a lot of that's marketing. And, people probably bought those. I think it's free enterprise. If people didn't want them, they wouldn't have bought them. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
But, I mean, some of that stuff is just ridiculous. It's the same thing like O'Reilly. I mean, he's beating on the French, wanting to gear up this boycott again. I mean, I think he's just let it go. I mean, we need these people on our side if we're going to, get to the end of this war with the terrorists. I mean, we better be friends and enemies with these people.
Yeah.
And then, now, where are we at? I'm just checking out your blog. And, see, what else is going on in your blog today? Oh, you got about the Michael Jackson jury, right? There's no blacks on the jury. I thought that was interesting.
Right, just heard about that.
Yeah. There's a woman who, I think whose brother was in one of the 9/11 plane crashes. She's on the jury. And another woman whose brother is a registered sex offender, but there's no African-Americans on the jury. What do you think about that?
Well, Oh, wow. Well, I didn't hear about all the stories behind the George.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Well, actually, I got a I blogged about that. I got a response from somebody saying that, you know, the area might not have a lot of black people in it. But, I mean, you know, it has to have at least one black person there. And I think that they might try to keep the black people off the jury. I mean, you know, I don't really know, but maybe because, you know, because Michael Jackson is black, they might think that they might tend to go for Michael Jackson, or, you know, just the cultural thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just wish they'd have a little more of a balanced that jury. I mean, you know, surely they could have found somebody, some African Americans to send that jury. I mean, I think it's made to.
Yeah, I think that the verdict's already decided anyway.
Ooh, what do you think? Guilty or what?
Yeah.
Really? You think he's gonna go down for this one?
Well, I think that they'll probably be decided guilty, but you know, something will happen where he'll it'll be like the last time where he'll settle with them. When things are looking pretty bad for him.
Yeah. I don't know if didn't they pass a law or something saying he can't settle or something? I remember that Snedden, whatever his name is, he was on something saying that he won't be able to do it this time because after that first one where he paid the kid's family $20 million, California passed some kind of a law that they can't, once the trial's rolling, you know, they sit the jury, they can't back out of it. I don't know.
I don't really think that I was, you know, around to realize what happened.
Yeah.
Last time I didn't know that they didn't have a trial or a jury or the trial was set last time.
Before they sat the jury, that they came to some kind of settlement, or before it really started rolling. Well, anyway, there wasn't a law, you know, stopping that. And since then, they've passed some kind of law that once the jury is going, you know, you have to keep going. You know, you can't pull back. You know.
Oh wow, that's good then.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with there, but I don't know, and it's you know, I just think it's crazy. And you had something on your blog about the storms, right, in California? You're covering that as well.
The what?
Oh, the storms in California. I thought
you
said something.
No, I haven't gone through that yet.
No. And no. Let's see what else you have going on here. Oh, go ahead.
Oh no! I was just waiting for you.
Oh, okay. And then you have about the tiger getting shot in Los Angeles. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, I don't think they should be showing that dead animal getting hauled away. I mean, that's what Fox was showing today. I mean, here they.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't catch that. I heard it on the way home from school though.
Yeah.
So now, I think it happened earlier this afternoon.
And now the school you're in, are they mostly liberals or conservatives? Are you kind of like odd man out in school?
No, I don't go to a public school. I attend a private school.
Oh, really? Like what kind? Catholic school or?
Yeah, Catholic school.
Really? Now, do they know you're a blogger? Do they know about your blog and everything?
No, I haven't. I mean, I don't really think it's that. I don't really see where I would make that. You know, it's not tied into any discussion.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not that kind of person. I'm not very outspoken. I mean,
no.
You know,
that's what I find.
Shy. I wouldn't.
That's why I find a lot of the bloggers are more introspective than, you know, extroverts. You know what I mean? A lot of people,
yeah.
A lot of them are shy. They pretty much, you know, they stick to the blog and they don't really put themselves out there. Like, would you seek office in at your school? Would you run for student council president or something?
It's pointless pretty much. I don't think that they do much. I mean, I know somebody who was in it. I mean, a couple people who are in it this year. And they meet like, you know, twice or three times a year,
yeah.
And come up, you know, with events to raise money. Pretty much it. That's it. And
yeah.
It's the same events every year. So.
Now, what do you think of this? The poll I saw somewhere today and yesterday about the Americans are more likely now to vote for a woman for president than before. What do you think about that? Of course, Hillary Clinton's picture is prominent in that story.
Yes, that's what I pointed that out too.
Yes,
that's,
I saw that. What do you think about that? I think if the Republicans don't find somebody strong to run next in 2008, it's all Hillary's.
Yeah, I see this whole Condi thing, and I don't really. I mean, she's a great person, you know, her job, she's great at her job, but I don't really see her running for president, even though that's the whole woman thing for the Republican side.
Mm-hmm.
I see Newt Gingrich running more, you know, than her.
Really?
Yeah, but I did see that poll, and I'm not sure if it was, if they were polled, do you want a woman president to run, or I don't know if it was compared, would you favor women over men, but I think it was more, would you want a woman, favor a woman? I'm not sure.
Really? You don't think she's going to run in 08?
If Hillary's going to run, I think that they might put her up there.
Mm.
But, you know, it's too early to tell from now.
Yeah. Oh, everybody's asking Hillary who? Hillary Clinton, not Hillary Duff or Hillary Swank. Yeah. Hillary Clinton. But I think she's got this, you know, she's going to run in a way, because even watching her, she's moving to the right. She's over there in Afghanistan and Iraq with McCain and Santorum and all of them. You know, she's moving.
Yeah.
She's moving to the right.
You know, it's have you heard that rumor? I mean, it's been around, and now it's resurfacing that Cheney is going to resign next year over health reasons. She's going to become vice president.
Who is?
Condi.
Oh, and she's gonna run.
I mean, you know, that could be, you know, a sign that, you know, she's getting ready to run for president. Like I said, I mean, it's too early to tell. I think she would be a great president, but I don't see her, you know, unless she's forced to by the, you know, RNC.
I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, stereotyping the country, but, you know, I think the country's barely ready for a woman president,
right.
Probably a white woman, but I really don't think they're ready for an African-American woman to be president. I think we're likely to see an African-American male to be president before we see an African-American woman.
Right.
Yeah, but that, I mean, I don't think, does that sound race, you know, I hope I...
No, that's not, I mean, you know, you're just finding, you know, what America thinks. I mean, it's not like you think that yourself.
Yeah.
It's just what, you know, everybody else thinks.
Yeah, I thought about that. I thought Cheney, you know, he'll say he's sick, but they're going to get him out of there for the end of the term so they could get somebody in the bullpen. But I really don't know if it's going to be her, or I think it might be Chuck Hagel from Nebraska, because he's been popping up on these Sunday morning shows over the last couple months. You know,
since the
election.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
Noticed that. Yeah.
And I really don't think Jeb Bush is going to run, because
I don't even know why they brought that up. No. I don't even see him even in the picture.
Yeah, and nobody else is really. Mitt Romney is somewhere in South Carolina at a fundraiser. They say he might be, you know, testing the waters to run. He's the governor of, I forget what state he's governor of, but I mean, you know.
When they were on Meet the Press, Hillary and McCain, I mean, McCain, they're trying to bring him up as somebody who might be running, but I don't think he'll be too old.
Yeah, he'd be too old. He'd be 72 by the time the inauguration rolls around if he does run. And that'd be Reagan's age in his second term. Yeah. So I don't think, if he does run, I don't think he stands a chance.
He's too to the center.
Yeah, probably made George Allen from Virginia. He was the former governor.
Yeah.
A senator, I don't know. I say there's no big name out there. I'm saying Hillary stands the best chance. If she's going to run, 08's probably the best year to run, because she's, you know, got the biggest name out there.
Yeah, well, like I said, I think that Newt Gingrich is trying to make a name out there.
Newt Gingrich?
I mean, I saw his speech at the CPAC, and I think he's getting ready for a run.
Really?
I
interviewed him out here a couple months ago at a book signing for his Civil War book, whatever it was.
The war.
And he said he might run, but I'm like, oh man, he's got a lot of baggage. He's got that thing with his ex-wife and, you know, staying over her bedside and, you know, all that going on. And then Rudy, I don't think the country's ready for a president named Rudy, you know, with the comb over. He does. He's got to look presidential to be president. I mean, really, he's got the comb over. He looks like a bad accountant from New York. And then you got Pataki. He looks like the principal Belding from Saved by the Bell. He won't run. He won't win. Think about it. Look at these people. You know, you got to have a certain look to be president. I mean, Hillary, she's a woman, but you look at her, she looks like she can pull it off, you know?
Well, actually, I don't really, you know, my governor here, Ehrlich, I think that he could be one of the, you know, for a vice president.
Yeah, Ehrlich? No, that's because that last name. They're not going to pay him. No. Nobody named Ehrlich is going to be vice president. I'm telling you, the country picks all these simple names: Bush, Clinton, Nixon. You know, I mean,
I got what you're saying.
I'm oversimplifying things, but I mean, it's the country's mentality. They pick these simple names: Bill or Jimmy or George. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just my feeling is anyway. But anyway, this is Ian Schwartz. Ian, I'm going to let you go in just about a couple minutes. Anything you want to say to your listeners out there?
I want to thank, I advertised it on the blog, and I just want to thank people for deciding to listen, and I hope you all decided to. I mean, I just, over the last few days, and if you don't mind, I'll just name a few blogs that are out there that I like to read. I got, right now, he's I am in the, from A Little Bit About Everything, that's a little about everything.com. Blogs for Bush, LaShawn Barber, Michelle Malkin, youngpundit.com. Those are a few that I like to read.
Really?
Very good. I just want to thank everybody for listening in, if you did.
Thank you. And again, this is Ian Schwartz from thepoliticalteen.net, and check out his blog. I'm on it right now. It's an excellent blog. I recommend everybody to take a look at it in the morning and or every day, at least make it to one of my bookmarks. So anyway,
yeah.
Good job on the blog.
Yeah. I want to thank Joe Gandelman from Moderate Voice for and you for having me on.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad we
could find I appreciate it.
No problem. And we'll have you on in a few more weeks and see what else is going on, all right?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, just email me.
All right. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You have a good night.
You too. Thank you. Once again, that was Ian Schwartz from the political teen. Exterminate a poor kid. He's probably getting a good education on this website, lvrocks.com. Anyway, but you know, Putup's not still on the air, is it? There you go. And just there you go. Extermination. Actually, I'm going to bring on Michael Hinman in a minute or so. And we're going to go into our Galactica discussion. Anyway, it's nice to hear about this from Ian Schwartz. I mean, it's amazing with these blogs. I keep saying the power of these blogs. I know after the no-show from last week, a couple of them I know wanted to mobilize against the series. I'm like, oh, Lord. So I calmed a couple of them down and everything. Because once they get rolling, like I say, they took down Dan Rather. They took down that guy from CNN. The guy did was over in somewhere over in Europe saying that the military was targeting journalists, and they took them down. And just, these bloggers are powerful, and they're the future of journalists as we know it. So, but anyway, and now we'll venture into our Galactica discussion. There we go.
Whoops. By your command, and fleeing from the Cylon tyranny, the last battle star, Galactica.
And we'll be joined by Michael Hinman from Sci-Fi Portal. It's syfyportal.com.
Known as Earth.
In the seventh millennium of time, a tribe of humanoids engaged in a terrifying conflict against a race of machines. It called Earth.
And we are joined by Michael Hinman from scifiportal.com. Michael, you there?
Yeah, I think I am.
Hello, there you are.
Man, I hate these delays.
That's all right. You gotta get trying to turn down your speakers. We got a delay in case anybody says anything foul on the internet radio station.
Yeah, heaven forbid somebody does that.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, welcome.
Well, sorry I don't have a blog.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. It's nice hearing from him, Ian. He's got a pretty good blog there, and he is conservative and everything, but I mean, he's a very, very well laid out blog, and he's one of the more popular ones out there on the internet.
Yeah, I never heard of him, but anyway.
So, anyway, this is Michael Hinman. Oh, there you go. This is Michael Hinman from scifiportal.com, and tell everybody there a little about your site for those of in the chat room who fell out, crawled from out underneath a rock today.
Well, the site is just, it's Sci-Fi Portal, syfyportal.com, and, we cover all kinds of science fiction, well, real science fiction, like none of that crap science fiction.
Oh, really?
Okay. We've been around for like 7 years, and,
you mean the crap like the Stargate shows?
The what?
You mean the crap like the Stargate shows? No?
Oh, no, we love Stargate. It's that Andromeda garbage that nobody watches.
I can't get into the first Stargate at all for some reason. I've tried it. I just can't. I don't know. The second one I like, it's doing real well. Andromeda is horrible. That show should have been off the air 2 years ago, but I mean.
Be honest, I never saw SG-1
really?
Until I saw Atlantis. So Atlantis premiered. And it's like, well, I have to watch this other one, too. And I'm actually getting into both of them.
Really?
They're both pretty good shows.
Really? Well, actually, here, I do have some news about Stargate from my friends at NBC Universal. Hello, everybody out there. Anybody who's listening out in the World Wide Web, if you want to go into the chat room, it's lvrocks.com. Click on Cam and Chat, and you can join us in there. There's a lot of people listening. And I actually got some news that they gave me that Beau Bridges, Mitch Pileggi, and Lou Gossett Jr. are going to join the cast of SG-1 in Stargate Atlantis. Where are we at here? Beau Bridges will join the cast of SG-1 as General Hank Landry, the new head of Stargate Command. Jack O'Neill is being promoted to oversee Homeworld Security.
Which means we won't be seeing too much of him.
No.
Mitch Pileggi, he's was in X-Files.
That's right, X-Files, that's right.
Yeah, he was the Skinner.
There you go.
Deputy Director Skinner.
And he handpicks Landry to be his successor. And S. Schuster down in any plan of Bo Bridges going on Galactica playing Commander Kane right there. And then he'll cross over to Stargate Atlantis. Gossett will join the cast of SG-1 in a recurring role as Jaffa leader who vies with Teal'c for political control of the new Jaffa nation. So, wow. Yeah, that's some good additions to the... Where's Pileggi's
If you know anything you just said, then you really are a Stargate geek like me.
Really? Is it exciting for you? I don't know. And then Pileggi is going to be on Stargate Atlantis in a recurring role as hard-nosed colonel who butts heads with Dr. Weir and Major Shepard. So, well, they're beefing up those two shows, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, you can also have, you know, you're going to see some crossover with Earth coming up again with Atlantis. So, I mean, you know, they're not going to keep them stranded there forever. It's not going to be some Star Trek Voyager, you know, in the Pegasus Galaxy, that's for sure.
Wow.
Well, I hope that wasn't a spoiler.
No, no. Pegasus, what do you mean? Galactica Pegasus, or?
I was talking to, you know, for Atlantis.
Oh, okay.
I go on like 20 different subjects.
That's all right. And actually, I want to get the ratings out of the way for Galactica. Actually, the ratings dropped a little bit from last week. They did a 2.2 household rating, 2,593,000 viewers. 1.6 million in 18 to 49s and 1,939,000 in 25 to 54-year-olds. So the show's still doing well. It slipped a little bit. It slipped behind Stargate Atlantis. It was actually the top-rated sci-fi show of the evening. It did, I think, a 2.3, so just a little ahead of Galactica.
I looked at the top 20 cable shows last week, and it wasn't on there.
Well, no, you're not going to see it in the top 20. I mean, Galactica's finishing around, well, I mean, outside of this past week here, Galactica's finishing around the top 25. Which is still pretty good. I mean, they're still getting a large audience share. And just because it slipped behind Atlantis for a week, I mean, we're only talking about 1 week. And, you know, whether this means that the rating is actually going to, you know, flatten out at 2.2 or if it's going to go back up to 2.4 or 2.5, I mean, it's hard to tell right now. But I don't think anybody should be worried either way. I mean, you know, from what I understand, as long as the show was pulling a 1.9, you know, that this, you know, it's going to have a life.
Well, I think they should trot out Grace Park wearing her outfit that she was wearing in the Maxim magazine a little bit more, because I'm looking at it now, and I think Khan's going to have to be excused to go to the men's room in a few minutes.
You don't have to...
Have you seen the Maxim, Michael, with her in it?
Look, you don't have to convince me too much, because I already have yellow fever.
Okay.
So you don't have to convince me too much of...
Cylon fever? Now, Michael, have you seen the Maxim with her in it, Grace
Park?
Does
she talk in this magazine? If she doesn't, then, you
Is
know, I
what?
Wouldn't mind seeing it. I just can't,
No,
you know.
She's pretty...
She have less bonds.
No, she's pretty hot.
She's pretty hot in this magazine. I tell you, she... they got, like, a two-page spread of her. And
she got a nice curd cutter.
Yes, yes. And she's got a nice little thong she's wearing there, so very nice. They should trot her out wearing that more often on the show. And actually, she talks about that scene she did just last week with the Hilo on the planet where she's having sex, you know, the bump and grind with the red light. And she was saying that, where are we at here? An X-ray blooper. She says, well, one of the wardrobe ladies offered her this neoprene little patch before the scene. We told her we were already sitting on a blanket and didn't need it. We do the whole scene, and both of us suddenly realize we were supposed to use the pad in between us. So she was bump and grind with Hilo, and it wasn't nothing in between them.
Oh, yeah, that was one of those mistakes, I'm sure.
It was incredible. Yeah, I'm sure the crew had exciting... Now, I wonder if they're going to issue the unedited version of that scene, probably on pay-per-view, I would think.
Well, I mean, that's actually unedited compared to what aired in the UK, because I remember seeing the UK episode. And,
really?
And I remember when they would show flashbacks in the later episodes, they would show her spine glowing, and I'm like, I saw that episode, I don't remember her spine glowing, but, I mean, they actually did cut some scenes down.
Really?
You know, from the UK in the UK version, and restored them, I guess, for the American version, which is good.
Which is weird, because you'd think in the UK they would show more than they do here in the US.
Yeah, what's going on in the UK?
It's a time slot thing, actually.
It did air earlier
in the UK, where here it's airing at 10 o'clock.
Well, do you think
there's a masturbation joke that that shocked me. I think it was, like, what, two episodes ago. I was like, what? I don't remember that. And it wasn't in the
British
version.
Do you think that's why the ratings are a little lower, because it's at 10?
Well, I don't know. I think it's just because, I don't know, it was the President's Weekend and the ratings may have slipped a little bit. I mean...
There's a lot of factors. I mean, you also had some interesting programming going on, you know, like with the Third Watch, you know, with their spinoff, they had a crossover episode.
Third Watch crossover.
Pulled in like 40% more viewers than normal.
Yeah, and they had the ratings jumped up, I forget how many percent between with those two shows going, you know.
And this doesn't count people crossover. That tape it, because I can't watch it Friday night, so I tape it.
Yeah,
so I'm one of the viewers that is not going to get shown on there because I have to tape it.
Well, I mean, if anybody's got TiVo out there, I mean, they should TiVo Galactica, even if they're home watching, because I think the TiVo thing actually counts in the ratings somehow, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, I think the statistics from TiVo, you know, are used in some form or another. But I mean, but basically, you got to realize that ratings are out there for commercials. So the only way you can, you know, people are actually going to sit down and watch commercials is if you're watching it live. Or if you just misplaced the remote control and you're too lazy to get your ass up and fast forward.
There you go. Now, what did you think of the last episode aired here in the United States, 6 Degrees of Separation?
I loved that episode.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good, too. And then I have just a little summary because I've been yelled at for not summarizing the episode a little bit. They open up with Baltar getting saying that Six came on to the ship as Shelley Godfrey, which is a play on the Godfrey, the silent Godfrey. I thought that was a pretty cool trick. No,
yeah,
it didn't click on me until I saw it in one of the boards. They went back in. I'm like, oh, my God, they are so – where do you slip these things in? There's like – that Ron Moore is a genius, you know. But what did you think of the show? I thought they opened up with the two of them standing next to her at the CIC, and then, you know, he's saying, do you see her? And Ty goes, she's standing right next to you. And I thought that was hilarious.
I mean, you know, and that's what I like about this series is that it's so clever that you don't need to have these big space battles every week. You don't need to have the visiting some casino planet, and not to slam the old series. I mean, obviously, it's a product of its time. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it's just that you could just take these characters and that these characters are already so well-defined. And what is this, like the 7th episode?
Yeah.
That this is so well-defined that we could do an episode like this by episode 7.
Yeah.
You know, when most other series, you'd be lucky if you could do an episode like this by episode 50.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at I don't know if you saw Stargate SG-1 this past week, but it was basically an episode where they kind of poked fun at themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of those things that Stargate... As good as that show is, they couldn't even do that by their 7th episode.
Yeah.
You know, Battlestar Galactica can do it already. So.
Yeah. And I like his line. He said, no more Mr. Nice Gaius playing his name. And the whole thing in the bathroom, that was a classic scene with him in the one stall and Gata in the other one. And they're, you know, whispering back and forth about, you know, him wanting, you know, needing help clear him and everything. I thought that was hilarious.
That episode was just awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the bathroom scene especially because... I mean, you know, I don't even think they have bathrooms on the Enterprise. You know, I was thinking back about that. And, and I mean, I kind of remember a comment that I kind of heard indirectly from Edward James Olmos, who I guess it was in the director's commentary, you know, on the DVD for the miniseries, where he said that, you know, he wanted the first shot of his character to not only be, like, just, like, living as a human being, but actually on the toilet.
Yeah, I heard that, too. I thought it was funny.
I mean, he wanted to make this look like the most real character you can, and that's what I like. It's very gritty. It's very realistic. And, you know, I mean, I almost have to look over my shoulder sometimes for that, you know, that little red light going back and forth. So.
Now, what do you think of Godfrey with that scene with her and Adama in his quarters where she, you know, how she was in love with that doctor, what was his name, Emmerich, you know, that died on the Olympic carrier, and then she goes up and kisses him, you know, and then Adama kind of lit up like he was going to hit her, you know.
Well, you kind of knew he's not that dumb.
Yeah.
He's not going to fall for her.
Yeah.
And that's what's nice about his character, too, is, and one thing I've always mentioned about Edward James Olmos is basically that he can say so much with a look.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I like, if you know, because there's so much you can say with looks. And I mean, that's why I like the fact that the Cylons, like the machine models, aren't talking.
Mm-hmm.
Because the less they say, the scarier they are.
Yeah.
Like, when the Borg were first introduced, they barely said anything, if anything at all.
Yeah.
And they were awesome. But then they all started yapping away, and nobody cared.
Yeah.
I mean, it just kind of takes that away from them when you're so, you know, like where nobody even knows who you are or knows anything about you, that mystery surrounding you.
Well, I like
that makes you a lot scarier.
Yeah, I like the scene on last week's show when Adama, those Marine guards go into his quarters to get him to go testify for the tribunal. He puts on those glasses, like, oh, damn, he's pissed off now.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? You can tell the look in his eyes. I mean, he does a great job on that show. I mean, it's incredible. And then they do the whole computer match thing where they try and match him on the computer and they're all looking at the reflection in the window. I mean, the detail they went into this episode was just, you know, they built drama. Basically a simple little premise. And then they had the president keeling over on her desk, Rosalind keeling over, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the doctor comes in, and the doctor was Dutch from.
Well, it's not that she keeled over; it's when she keeled over.
Yeah.
And he was trying to tell her, "I think this person is a Cylon,"
and she fainted. It's like,
and she's
that was even comical.
Yeah, he's like, "Hello." Yeah. Hello, and she's passed out.
It's like she fainted at the thought that woman's a Cylon. You know, that was funny. And then the doctor's saying, "Oh, it's not. You know, you're rolling up her sleeve and take a shot, and he's not that kind of shot.
Not that kind of shot.
Yeah, he had to give it a shot in the ass and everything. And that was good. And he's smoking. Yeah, I love that doctor.
I love the smoking doctor. I just think that's so cool. And you know, and to be honest with you, I like the fact. I think that Sci-Fi Channel has finally, you know, maybe it's the new ownership or something, but they finally learned the lesson from Farscape where. You know, where they really effed up, oh, I could say the other word, but, you know, where they really, you know, where they screwed over Farscape so much, and now that, you know, I mean, the way they're promoting the show, when you go to the website, it's not just a website with a couple of pictures. I don't know if you saw this today, but now they're offering 33, the entire episode, commercial-free, uncut, streaming from the website for free. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, I never saw Star Trek Enterprise try that, or anybody else, you know, I mean... I've seen the episode like 700 times now, but I watched it 701 times today because I just had to see the whole thing then in streaming video. So.
Now, see, I've purposely been staying away from the deleted scenes because I want to see the whole season as it is. Then
but this
I'll
is
go
the
back.
Whole episode that they just put up there tonight.
Well, I just want to wait till the end of the season's over, then I'll get into it with that.
Yeah,
but,
I already saw the whole season, so.
You know what I mean? It just... you've seen all the episodes. Now, what do you think of... Where are we here? I'm skipping along here. The scene with Baltar in the room where Gata's looking at the photo. He tried hitting delete, ended up trying to trash the whole room. I thought that was funny as can be, too. He pulled the plug on the wrong one.
And there's a lot of unspoken story there, too, I mean, you know, in this episode. Because, I mean, you know, obviously Gata, you know, since the miniseries has been following, you know, guys around like a puppy dog, basically. You know, because he's just in such awe of this doctor, of this, you know, this big genius, this major genius of, you know, of Caprica.
Yeah.
And it's just great because now he's put into this position of, you know, like, you know, my loyalties to my ship, you know, and my fondness for this man that, you know, that just I admire so much. And, I mean, it's just that whole unspoken, you know, that whole unspoken aspect of it. I just think it's a great, great, you know, story. I can't even talk tonight, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, everybody's asking me what I'm looking at.
It really carries through to the end of the season as well. So.
Yeah. Everybody's asking me what I'm looking at. I'm looking at there's a computer here in the studio. Point to it. I'm looking at the chat room and everything, so I'm not ignoring everybody in the chat room.
Oh, you read that chat room?
I'm reading the chat room as I'm going along, so I'm I'm watching the... Oop. Yeah, attention. Yeah. What else? I like at the end of the show, he kneels down and admits the God and everything, and Six comes in and says she'll take care of everything, yada, yada, yada. And then it turns out that Shelley Godfrey disappears from the ship completely, except for her glasses, which she leaves at the CIC with the Dama. That was pretty cool, too. Yeah, and they left that. It reminded me of, like, Ibley on the original show. He disappeared without a trace, and same thing with her. She just vanished off the ship.
Yeah, I heard the original show disappeared without a trace, too, so.
Oh, no comment there. But, I mean, really, I mean, it's amazing how they wove it in and out. I mean, I thought it was an incredible episode. And next week is, Flesh and Bone, correct?
Oh, that's a great episode as well.
Really, really. And then we start building up towards the season ender, right, which was be incredible. I actually have the Starburst magazine here with Katie Sackhoff in here, which, you know, talks about the last two episodes are very physically demanding of her particularly as well. So it seems like the show is just moving right along.
Yeah, you know, I don't think fans are going to be disappointed. I'm actually a little more worried about the 20-episode second season.
Yeah, I kind of wish they'd stick with the 13 because I'd rather have quality over quantity. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was, like, about a year ago or a year and a half ago maybe, you know, I was one of the people that suggested that maybe, like, Star Trek should move to premium cable so that they only do, like, 13 episodes every year or every year and a half, because that way you can spend time on these episodes. You can make them great.
Exactly.
And you have 13 hits rather than maybe 13 hits mixed with 7 or 8 duds.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, do you have any idea what they're going to do after the 13 episodes have aired? Are they going to rerun them just as they were, or what do you think they're going to do?
I'm not sure because, I mean, you know, you would think they're going to rerun them over the summer, you know, because... Some word was going around. Yeah. NBC was going to air them over the summer, but
now Galactica's
coming
back.
We're talking second season launching in, you know, July.
Yeah, because they have to.
Why rush it? Wait till next
fall.
September, October.
Summer. You know, a lot of people are vacationing. They're going to have, you know, make a plan to actually sit there and, you know, on Friday night to watch Galactica.
But people do that. I mean, because Sci-Fi has already used this formula over and over again with Stargate, and now with Stargate Atlantis as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, that series always starts in the summer. You know, they have a break during the fall, then they pick back up again in January.
Really?
And basically all Battlestar Galactica is doing that same formula.
Really?
20 episodes, 10 in the summer, 10 in the spring.
Huh. Now, will they count that as one season, or will they count that as two seasons?
It's one season.
Really?
It's one season split.
Yeah, because I hear here Sci-Fi Channel announced the second season of its hit series will premiere this summer with 20 new episodes. Resume production in Vancouver, British Columbia in March, and will again anchor the Friday night lineup. I hear something else there from Sci-Fi Channel.
You know, what's lucky, though, is that they only have to get 10 episodes together right now, so at least they can spend some time on it. And,
yeah.
I mean, because you're going to have a few months hiatus while, you know, until January again when they pick it back up.
True, true. And they said, I guess, all three of the shows are going to be fresh when the show comes back in the summer. So that's, you know, you're right about the planning, because they're all going to be airing fresh episodes at that time.
And it's good that they're doing this now ahead of the UK. As much as I love all my friends over in Britain, uh-huh. You know, I mean, them getting our shows first is pissing me off. So,
well, I think that hurt the ratings as well, because, you know, they're spoiling everything on the boards, and then Universal's got to crack down on this downloading business, because, you know, maybe now we'll get them first, they'll put an end to it, because, you know, nowhere else to get them, and we'll get them first, and only the British people would be the ones downloading them then.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I mean, still, no matter how much of it, you know, I think that whole issue that, you know, NBC Universal made a mistake by bringing attention to the fact that people are downloading it. I mean, when you do that, that just opens it up to everybody else. I mean, I think I looked around at a few peer-to-peer sites that were offering it just when I was doing a story on it, just getting some details. I think I saw maybe, like, on one of the episodes that was a few weeks old, I think it had, like, maybe 50,000 downloads. And, I mean, that's barely a blip on a, you know, on a ratings radar.
Wow.
You know, and I mean, if you, you know, that's not a lot, you know, comparatively. Like, even the 3 million people, that's not even, what, 1%, really.
Really?
I mean, so I think that their mistake was pulling more attention to it, where they should have just ignored it, because downloading episodes is something that happens, you know, as long as there's been high-speed internet. I mean, you know, that's been around for quite a while, you know, in some places. And in Europe, they don't get some of these episodes for like a year. So they download these things, you know, off of these different sites.
True.
That,
but there were more viewers here in the United States than there are in Britain, right?
Well,
I mean,
obviously, yeah. So, I mean, that's why I thought it was kind of stupid that if you're going to base your ratings on an American audience, don't show it somewhere else where, you know, Americans, like, you know, like some who can't wait are going to download the episodes.
Yeah. Now, from this last episode, Six Degrees of Separation, who is your, like, your most valuable player of that episode? Who was it? Was it Baltar?
Oh, of 6 Degrees of Separation?
Yeah, an MVP.
Yes, Baltar.
Really?
I love that. I mean, he has probably the best character on that on that show. I mean, seriously. I mean, I could sit there and talk highly of everybody.
Yeah.
But if they were to get rid of, you know, like if there was one person that I would make like my franchise player, you know, somebody I wouldn't want to get rid of, it would be Baltar.
Really?
Now, I mean, he's just a great character.
Do you think he's losing his edge? I mean, he's supposed to be the guy that like led to the annihilation of their civilization, and basically he's supposed to be the villain, you know, one of the villains on the show, but he's now like a comic relief type of character.
Yeah, but he's still an unwitting villain. I mean, he's still under control, you know, supposedly of this Cylon that's in his head.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, and actually, as you see the season wear on, you're really going to see that come more and more into play.
Really?
Because, I mean, I know it doesn't make sense what he's doing right now, but they don't really, you know, you're not. I don't know if you're going to get answers to all your questions, but you are going to at least get an idea of where things are going.
Really?
Yeah, because there's 7 Cylons, right?
No, well, there's 12 copies, right?
Which they haven't mentioned lately. So
well, that's why I'm hoping that they do. They slowly introduce different Cylons.
Well, next week they do.
In another one?
No, this is the same Cylon from the miniseries.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they trot out another copy of him. Yeah. They bring it out on Eric.
Which one is the one
that they found on that Ragnar Anchorage, the one they found there with the ammunition depot. They bring an Eric version of him onto the show.
And this episode is also very important too. I mean, you know, while it is a good episode by itself, I mean, it does help set up, you know, the rest of the season at the same time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'll definitely be interesting. You know, for those who haven't seen it yet, I mean, you'll definitely get at least an idea of what's to come. I think it's a great preview of what's
now,
to come.
What's been your favorite episode to date that has aired in the United States?
What's aired in the U.S. or overall?
No, in the U.S.
To date, I have to say Six Degrees of Separation. Only because, I mean, my favorite episode of the season hasn't aired yet, and that's The Hand of God, which is coming up, I think, in a couple of weeks, or maybe a few weeks, and I think it's like the 10th episode, I want to say, but that is, I mean, I cried during that episode. That was such
cried.
A good episode.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
I mean, and I rarely ever cry for anything on television, but that was so well done. The music,
I cried during Bambi. That's
the
only
story.
One I cried through.
Yeah, well, you know, Bambi's not in this one, but, I mean, just the whole idea, I mean, it keeps you on edge. It's a great military story. It's a great, you know, story of triumph and story of defeat. And, I mean, it just, it, it's really moving.
Really? What's chat room saying? Any rumors that Patrick McNee is going to come on the show and play the Imperious Leader again or the voice of the Imperius? I don't think so.
Why does everybody keep wanting to say that? I mean, I have not heard of any such reports. Now, I'm not saying it's not true.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're definitely not going to see that in this season. I mean, maybe in the second season. I mean, we don't really have much information on what's going to happen in the second season yet.
Yeah, that'd be a great tie-in, though, if they did. Yeah. I mean, that'd be, a shock to everybody. I wish they'd do without any announcing it. Just have it show up on the show like a surprise. You know, like
I don't even
want
to see an Imperius leader, to
be
honest.
Yeah. No. There you go. And what else? Now season two. We think they're going to go in season two. They're going to now. Brown Moore said on his blog they're going to dig more into the religious aspect of the show and the Cylons. And what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think he's definitely not giving away anything. I mean, right now it might seem like a lot, but if you see the whole first season and when he said, "Oh, we're going to do more about religion," I mean, he's really staying tight-lipped.
Really?
Because the season will end with a cliffhanger. It's a very interesting cliffhanger.
Mm.
I'm curious to how they're going to resolve it, though I have some ideas. But, it's just, there's a lot that they still can do. I mean, they answer a lot of questions. They take care of a lot of things. And you think, oh, well, this is over.
Yeah.
But I think I said that after every season of X-Files, too. Mm. So, and they still found ways to astound. And, I mean, I just don't have any doubt that whatever they put together, that I think that you're still going to see people tuning in and it's still going to be great television. I mean, I still call this series one of the best on television right now.
Yeah. Kenny Gruels is the one that posed that question. He says, don't knock him. So he posed that question.
Sorry, Jim.
Well, it's a good question to ask. I didn't mean
to knock you, man.
Yeah. I do know how the season's going to end, but I'm not going to spoil it for everybody else. But, I mean, that led to the
rumor. The ship sinks.
Yeah.
The Galactica sinks.
Oh, really? And then what's her name comes on and sings the song?
Yeah.
At the end, and then,
because,
the other dude
comes on and her fat ass gets on the door and he's, she won't let Adama on. It's really pain in the ass.
And then, who's that guy who was in that Titanic? Well, he comes out and takes over the ship. What the hell's his name? I can't remember. He's on Growing Pains. What was his name? Whatever. Anyway.
He's hell out of me. I don't know.
He was on the Aviator
Growing
movie.
Pains.
He was on Aviator,
Leonardo
too.
Leonardo
DiCaprio.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, he's the new captain of the Galactica, or the commander. Now, because that led to, what's going to happen at the end of the season, that led to the rumors that, Olmos is going to get recast.
All the primary characters
Alec Baldwin, or that new guy that was on Atlantis a couple weeks ago, he was going to take over. Jerry, Jenny.
I heard actually Lauren Green is actually going to come back to life and actually reprise the role. I mean, that's the latest rumor I've heard. That's probably more credible than what I've been hearing out there.
Actually, I heard Seth Green was going to take over for Lauren Green.
What's funny is that the internet age is so easy for dumbass rumors to go around. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, you're going to see it all the time. And, I've been in the rumors game for like 7 years, so I just know how to ignore most of them. So
yeah.
I just laugh at them.
Well, I also do a wrestling show, so our show lives on rumors. So, I mean, have you heard any problems with the casting for the summer? I mean, we had a couple guys on. Aaron Douglas, he was supposedly trying out for a pilot, but I guess he was signed for the show. And then Alonzo Oyarsson, he's in the brig, so I don't imagine he'll be back.
He's coming back.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, you'll
really?
See him.
Wow.
I think somebody who supposedly watched the whole season didn't realize,
he's coming back? Really?
If he's coming back for the second season, but you'll see him back in the, before the end of the first season.
Really?
So.
Now, what about for next season, though? What's he going to be doing next season? Do you think, anybody, if they've all been signed?
Primary's been signed. I know Jim was keeping up, with that more than I was, and I think that he had mentioned that, kind of secondary cast was looking at the 18th, which was a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't hear about anybody not re-signing, even though that would be more minor. It'd be more major if, like, Mary McDonald didn't come back or something. But,
yeah.
I'm assuming that most people are coming back. I mean, it's a good gig for them. It's, good viewership, and they're getting a lot of exposure, so.
Yeah. Well, Laura Roslin, I can't imagine how many years they're going to keep her on the show because she does have cancer. I mean, how long are they going to, drag this out? You know what I mean?
Well, especially with what happens, as the season wears on, I'm going to be surprised how they kind of carry this out.
Yeah.
So.
That's a big star name to get rid of, though.
Donald?
Yeah, that's why I'm just curious how they're going to do that. And Donald Trump would be the great Imperius leader. I would
Donald
watch if
Trump.
Donald Trump was the Imperius leader. You are fired.
Hell, we are trying to ruin this show. Wait a minute now. Next thing you're going to go on a casino world planet and start playing singer of the three.
I heard
eyes.
A rumor on the internet that Vince McMahon was going to be on.
You're crazy.
He's going to be the Cylon leader.
Yeah. I hear Orlando Cruz is going to be the Imperius leader.
That's a good crossover.
About?
See, now we're crossing over wrestling. That's great. So.
it's actually the same type of energy in the fans from
I'm starting
from
a new website.
Wrestling. What?
Battlestar Wrestling.
Battlestar Wrestling. I mean, it's almost, well, I wonder how long, if USA does pick
up. I'll take the little one, you take the toaster.
There you go. I wonder how long, if USA does pick up the WWE game, will we start seeing a wrestler show up on Galactica? I mean, they did that with Big
here's
Show
a question.
Showed up on Enterprise playing Shrek.
Wait, here's a question. Because this will be Battlestar Galactica. What about the Cylons? Are they going to re-sign them?
Oh, yeah, have the Cylons all been re-signed?
You mean the toasters themselves or the human ones?
Yeah, both. The toasters.
I do have to admit that ever since, you know, because like, I never watched the original Battlestar Galactica. I was too young. I'm only 28.
Yeah.
And but, I mean, now I can't even have a toaster in my kitchen. You know, I'm afraid to go in there because the toaster is going to go out.
You? What the hell? Now, wait a minute. And also, you write for, you're an managing editor for several newspapers in Florida, correct?
Oh, yeah. I'm an associate managing editor for a few newspapers on the Space Coast.
Space Coast. There you go. And,
Works for sci-fi, huh?
Really? No. It's good. Outstanding. I hope you give us a nice little plug in your paper. It'd be nice, huh? Hint?
I can't even give my own website a plug in my paper.
And, where am I at? I lost my track. Oh, show's over? Oh, well, we only got a couple minutes left. Michael, once again, thank you for coming on. I'll probably have you come back next week if you want.
Hey, I'm always available for you guys.
All right, because next week, actually, I got confirmed from NBC Universal that Bodie Olmos is really, really, really
going to be on this time.
He's really going to be here. I was promised with cross your fingers and with the pinky promise, too, from Universal.
I hear he's a great guy, so I'm sure him stubbing you was just as innocent as mine.
He had a cold or flu or whatever it was. I think he got stuck with something.
He had the LV Rocks flu.
LV Rocks. He actually had a 20-year-old blonde, I think, in his hotel room. That's what that flu was called. And so he'll be on next week, and we'll talk to Bodie Olmos. Actually, he's going to come out at the beginning of the show at 6, and then, I don't know, maybe we'll go the whole hour again. I don't know, so I got to see where I'm at. And Michael Hinman from Sci-Fi Portal, it's syfyportal.com. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow, that was a quick moving 30 minutes with Hinman. And anyway... time for you to go. All right. And up next is Sabloff, the Power Hour. I got the point, damn it. And join us here next week. We're Bodie Olmos will be on at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. So, anyway, y'all have a good night, and see you on the boards. And good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow. So say we all, watch Flesh and Bone on Friday. Don't tape it. Watch it. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, just tell someone. Good night.
Presenting His Eminence, our Imperious Leader. It is done, Imperious Leader. By your command.